Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, right here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. It is Monday, June 18th, 2018. There's the two 18s for us right there. And today I want to talk to myself, and I want to share with you some thoughts that I believe that we need to just bring back up to the forefront of what we're hoping for. And I tell you, today is a day of hope. And I mean that with all of my heart, that there are some possibilities today that you and I can put our faith and our trust in if we are convinced that God has something to say to us. And I want to talk about what we have been sharing in the broadcast for the last number of months, and that is, of course, acceleration. And we have been looking for a moment of release into divine acceleration into the end time purposes of God. And we are being challenged personally, corporately, in our faith and our understanding. And the true seekers of God are seeking to know one thing, and that is the truth. And the truth of what time it is in the biblical economy and calendar of God. What time is it? Where are we? I wish to God, don't you, that we would just have one clarion, clear understanding in the body of Yeshua, in the church of Jesus Christ, in the ecclesia of God, that there would be one voice coming through many members that would declare the times that we're in. But unfortunately, we are not living in a time where there is one crystal clear clarion voice declaring to the body of Christ where we are in God's economy, what time it is in God's economy. And when you look back in Scripture, the part of the prophetic ministry of the prophets was to declare unto Israel God's purposes, the timing of things, et cetera, et cetera. And unfortunately today, on both sides of the spectrum, we are hearing so many different reports. On one side, we're hearing what we have been talking about for a very long time, going back to Dimitri Dudeman, David Wilkerson, and way beyond that, the biblical prophets of God who have spoken to their generation, who are speaking to our generations today through the written word of God. But while we have this clarion thought process in our hearts and minds concerning the days that we're living in, that this is the end time, these are the last days, The second coming of Jesus Christ is imminent. There are two things that have to happen: a great falling away. The man of sin must be revealed, which means the Antichrist will come. So we look at the sign on September 23rd, 2017. We saw the Revelation 12 sign. Revelation 12 talks about Satan being cast onto the earth. This is a manifestation, a revelation, or an unveiling of the satanic reality, their own trinity of the false prophet, the beast, and the dragon coming to this earth and developing a one-world government. And we have a huge sway in biblical evidence, in understanding. We know why this is a ripe season for judgment upon our own nation. We've seen judgment from our perspective, hurricanes, fires, you know, you name it, shootings, terrorism. We believe that what we've been witnessing since 9/11 particularly is a never-ending, ongoing consternation, whether it is the Ferguson riots, the Baltimore riots, whatever is the police shootings in Dallas and all of that, you know, stuff. We saw the blood red moons. We saw all of these signs in the heavens and on earth that are backing up and fulfilling what the prophets and the Lord Jesus said would be happening in the last days. We've heard of wars, rumors of wars. We've been to war since 9/11/2001 in the Middle East. We went on the global world war on terror. We have gone and seen the revolutions within the Middle East. We saw in the Ukraine with Russia moving. You know, we had the threats of war. So my point is, we've been in that vein. And now, if every single person in the body of Christ was speaking the same thing, well, my God, that would just be beautiful. But we have another side of the coin of this is the greatest day of America. America will be great again. There is no judgment. God is for us. I mean, we're hearing the absolute direct opposite. And that should put the fear of God in everybody that's talking in the days in which we're living in. It certainly has put the fear of God in me, because I kind of like, you know, the disciples sitting around the table in the Last Supper, and Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. And all the disciples began to ask themselves, is it I? Is it I? You know, who's going to do this? And when it comes to this kind of ministry of declaring God's purpose, God's mind, God's heart, God's word, and then you have one direction flowing in, yes, this is the time, this is it, and the other side say, no, this is going to be the greatest time for America. This is time of revival, restoration, healing. America will be great. We're getting out of all the terrible relationships and agreements that we've had that have been hurting us, and good things are happening and great things are happening. And, you know, I always felt it was more popular, if you want to go into the realm of populism, to be, you know, positive. Obviously, the optimist is always looked upon as a better person than the negative person. But the reality is that we have two sides of a coin here, and the necessity is to know what is true, absolutely what is true. And I believe we could go on to the end of time with both sides proclaiming their way to be the right way. This is God's grace moment. This is God's outpouring. This is God's mercy. This is God's goodness. Nations are going to get saved. Peace and safety with North Korea. There's going to be unification there. And now we even have prophets out there that are claiming to be prophets that are talking about unification between Iran and Syria, a Middle East peace treaty that does not necessarily have anything to do with, you know, the negative peace treaty. And, you know, there's, you know, just this incredible potential possibility for God to show his miraculous working power in the nations of the earth, to bring a spirit of conviction over the minds of the masses, and everybody turn back to God, and it's going to be just a great revival like we've seen in times past. But again, on the other side, there are those that have heard from the Spirit of God that we have crossed the point of no return, that America will never return to its former greatness. Now, I started hearing that in 2003 in my own spirit, but then I read in 1989 when Pastor David Wilkerson said the same exact thing, and others have reported the same way as well. So, you know, we are a generation of men and women that are wanting to know the will of God. And we are also a generation that even the elect of God can be deceived. the elect of God, the very elect, those who have a very pure heart can still be deceived. And so I believe that the approach has to be, Father God, what is the truth here? Because somebody's wrong. Somebody's wrong. And if we're going to measure the message by, you know, the nicety of people, you know, who's a nice guy, who's a nice gal, you know, well, so-and-so is so, you know, innocent and, you know, this is such a nice person and, you know, how could their message be wrong? Well, the fact of the matter is somebody is wrong or both is true. And some people have concluded that that simply means that this is going to be the greatest time for the ecclesia, the greatest time for the people of God who know the Lord, who have repented, who have turned their hearts completely over to him, who have pressed into the heart of Jesus Christ to recognize there's going to be a transfer of wealth. There's going to be a, you know, just a beautiful anointing and a glory of God that the church is going to be effective in winning souls for the kingdom of God in these last days. So the idea here is not about nations being favored by God, but the church, the true church after the separation from the sheep and the goats, when God separates from within the kingdom of God, because judgment always begins in the house of God, and judgment always refers to separation from what is right, from what is wrong. And so many people believe that the true ecclesia, the called out ones representing the church, are going to receive a wave of God's glory, an acceleration of God's end time purpose, a quickening within their own spirits. And they're going to do exploits, like it says in Daniel, that they who know their God will do exploits, and they will go forward with this powerful anointing. And yet the nations of the earth will grow darker and darker. And so many people believe that that's where we are. Rise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is seen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you. So the day of the Lord is a day of light and darkness, no gray zone. You're either in the light or you're in the darkness, and that's where it's going, and both are growing exponentially. And so in that sense, I could see in my heart and in my mind, which is basically where I'm standing right now, because I believe God wants to do amazing things in the body of Christ. But again, the unfortunateness is that on both sides, when it comes to America and nations, we have two very opposing thoughts that are being presented. And it's kind of like on Mount Carmel, when the prophet Elijah came and Jezebel had the whole nation of Israel under a spell. And, you know, they couldn't answer Elijah a word. They were like sitting in the bleachers of a great tennis match going back and forth looking, well, what's true? What is the truth here? And so it took a demonstration of the kingdom of God to awaken the people to the reality that they had been hoodwinked, that they had been under a spell, that Jezebel had mesmerized them. And so only a divine act could have opened their eyes when fire came down out of heaven and it licked up all the water. And, you know, Ezekiel was justified by the tangible move of God to validate his message. The other prophets, the false prophets, were prophesying peace and safety. And yet the people were under that spell that everything was okay, that, you know, that's just the way it was. And that is the biblical pattern, by the way, between the prophets of God and the false prophets of God. The majority of the time, God refers to a false prophet is someone who preaches peace and safety to a nation that is sinning horribly against God, and God is declaring judgment. And that appears to be where we are today. But today is, now I want to go through this because I still believe that there is an acceleration. And again, what, before I move forward, what side of this day are you on? What side of this day am I on? What is it that you believe? And are you sure what you believe is true? And where do you get your evidence, your strength, your confidence that you're not just listening to a man on either side of the spectrum, but somehow you are already aware by the Spirit of God through your own searching it out, and then you're getting confirmations of what God has already revealed to you? And I believe that oftentimes that God's people, especially in the new covenant, who are peering into the book and have the Holy Spirit of God within them, they should be able to make a decision as to, you know, what is true and what is not, because we have the gift of discernment to discern spirit, what is true, what is not. So when I answer this question for myself in fear and trembling, because everybody that speaks, the teachers, according to the book of James, are going to have a double condemnation because they have spoken and taught God's people in the name of the Lord. And again, this is a fearful thing in a good sense, but it's an awesome responsibility to say, thus saith the Lord. And I've noticed through the years, because of divine discipline, that very few are really saying, thus saith the Lord anymore, that the majority of people that are speaking are basically saying, well, this is what I believe. I'm not saying, thus saith the Lord. These are my thoughts. Well, that gets into the realm of speculation. And again, there's no absolute in that. And what I believe God's people need right now is a thus saith the Lord. And the only way we're going to get to that point, I believe, is either someone's going to stand up, someone's going to stand out, and they're going to proclaim, thus saith the Lord, and their words are going to be fulfilled, and it's going to be, an understanding. So my perspective, what I believe, what I would give my life to, what I have given my life to, is a belief that the nation called America, as well as all the other nations in the world, but America, like Israel, is under a double accountability because we are a Judeo-Christian nation, meaning that our whole nation's reality came from the root system of the Torah, the Jewish culture. And, you know, there's just no doubt to this because the Bible has a large as foundation in our country. The gospel of Jesus Christ has been preached in America. Our society has grown up with churches and the Bible, not mosques and a Quran or anything else. We've heard that so many times. And so we as a nation know better. As Pastor Ken Wagner said on a radio program yesterday about our Constitution, that was carefully drafted. And the majority of that Constitution came out of the Bible, but it was just written in a way where it didn't seem to be religious. But everything in it is from a biblical point of view. And so our laws that protected our society from the ills of pornography, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, what we talk about all the time, well, our laws once reflected a biblical morality, a biblical righteousness, and our nation was very blessed. And as soon as we began to take away those laws to protect our society and these evil things came in, well, they said that these evil things were good. And we saw the fulfillment of Bible prophecy there as well. And so I've taken a long time to try to get to a point here on this amazing day, June 18th. I shared with you a little story on Friday, and it was about something that happened on last Tuesday and Wednesday, which I just want to reiterate the story because it's not something you could just ignore. Okay, this is not something that can be ignored. Now, Tuesday, I want to go over this one more time. And forgive me for those of you who, you've already heard this and you're thinking, well, you know, do I really need to hear that again? I do. I need to hear it again. And because today is that day. Today is that day. And I'm referring to a simple man of dust, myself, on a Tuesday night, getting ready to go to bed, and on my little dresser top next to the bed, my Bible was sitting, and around 10 o'clock in the evening, I took my Bible, and I wanted to read, and I flipped it open, like so many times we've done, and I opened it to Ezekiel chapter 1, and I began to read these words. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. Now I asked people in our church service this weekend when I read that verse, I said, what stands out to you the most in that verse? And those that answered concurred, the heavens were open. I saw the visions of God. I mean, that is the major thing that your eyes would be attracted to. But it wasn't for me when I read this. What I was peering into was that date, the 30th year, the fourth month, the fifth day of the month. And it became so alive in me that I kept reading Ezekiel chapter 1, the heavens were opened, the visions of God were there, and I read Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel chapter 2, Ezekiel chapter 3, and then I realized that this whole thing was about the commissioning of the prophet Ezekiel to go to the rebellious nation to declare the word of the Lord, the judgments that would befall them, et cetera, et cetera. But I couldn't get my mind off of that date, 30th year, fourth month, fifth day of the month. So I came downstairs to the computer, and I looked in the Hebrew date converter, which I use all the time for the Feast of the Lord, and I looked up the fourth month, which was the month Tammuz. That's where we are right now. We are actually on the fourth day of the fourth month. You have in your Hebrew calendar, the first month is Nisan, the second month is Iyar, the third month is Sivan, and the fourth month is Tammuz, and then this scripture says it was on the 30th year, the fourth month, Tammuz, in the fifth day. So when I looked up the fifth day of the fourth month in 2018, where we are now, it converted to June 18th. And I thought, oh man, that's right ahead of us, June 18th. Then I connected, the heavens were opened. I saw the visions of God. And I kept reading. Then I saw the commission, that there was an equipping to go to the rebellious nation and to speak the word of God to that rebellious nation. But what was more exciting to me is the visions of God that were seen in the book of Ezekiel were an exact copy of what we see in the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and chapter 10. And Ezekiel and Daniel seem to have such a complement to the book of Revelation, as does Isaiah chapter 6, which we preached on this weekend as well. And so I saw these great visions of God. I saw the chariot wheels of God in Ezekiel chapter 1. I saw the mobile tabernacle of God, the throne of God, the four living creatures of God. It's all there, and it's just everything. And what I walked away with that is that whether it's Moses, whether it's Isaiah, whether it's Ezekiel, whether it's Paul the Apostle, whether it's John the Apostle, there's a consistency in the description of what the throne of God is, what it looks like. There seems to be a witness, and it is a continuous witness. It's the same, and that's really important. It's a consistent witness to what the heavens are like, and the Bible is just very awesome to be able to make us aware that these things are true. So I had this month, this day and month, June 18th. Well, I know in the Hebrew calendar that every day begins with the setting of the sun. So we did our research and our study, and we walked away with this understanding, at least I did, that on June 18th, which is today, Monday, when the sun sets, so tonight, when the sun sets, maybe setting in other parts of the world right now, when the sun sets on June 18th, that will connect with this exact date. And it just turns out tonight we're going to, Monday nights are our prayer meeting nights. And while I was sharing this, this all happened with me on Tuesday night. The next night, last Wednesday, we have Bible study up on the Ark. And as I was sharing these things, my sister in the Lord, Marissa, she raised her hand. She was very excited. And she began to tell, and what I did, by the way, that evening, Wednesday night, was I was preaching this, and I was talking about the open heavens and open doors, how Revelation chapter 4, the door was open in heaven. In Malachi, the heavens, the windows of heaven are open. We talked about the chariots of God, and it got into an understanding. It developed in my mind as we were going, I believe by the Holy Spirit, the tangibility of the resources of heaven, or the tangibility of the heavens, whether those tangible things are the angels or the chariots. Remember, Elijah was picked up by a fiery chariot. Remember on the mountain with his servant Gehazi, who was terrified because the Syrians have surrounded them on the mountain. And Elijah said, oh God, open his eyes. And his eyes were opened, and he saw the chariots of God surrounding them. And the word chariots there in the Hebrew literally referred to the cavalry, or the cavalry, as my brother Sean corrected me. It's the cavalry. We all know what the cavalry is. That's the armies of heaven. And yet in the armies of heaven, we have these chariots, and then we have in the book of Revelation tens of thousands of saints of God on white horses following the commander-in-chief of the armies of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, on his white horse. And so we have chariots and horses and saints and angels. And we walked away again, and I was preaching about this tangibility. There's something tangible coming out of heaven, And the heavens are open, and we're going to perceive, and we're going to recognize, we're going to see. Our consciences will open. The eyes of our understanding will open. The eyes of our faith will open. And there's this opening coming, and I did a word study on the word open. And it literally means to vent or to release or to let go or to give course. And then I put it all together, and I'm thinking, okay, well, on June 18th, when the sun sets, something's going to happen, and there's going to be a release out of heaven. The heavens are going to open, and there's going to come a venting, and the resources, the tangible things of God are going to come on the earth. Well, that's when Marissa raised her hand, and she says, I need to say this. She said, I haven't told anybody this, but she journals a lot, and she has this journal. And she said Wednesday night, she said it was either February, March, because she didn't have her journal with her. She said, I wrote down in my journal about open doors. She even used the example of her garage door was broken and it opened and no man could shut it. And so while she was writing on this night, she didn't remember, she said that she wrote the date June 18th, June 19th. I said to her, and you know, the Bible study got very exciting at that time because we're going, what? And I'm sitting there saying, what? You're telling me last night, Tuesday night, I'm getting this date from Ezekiel chapter 1, and you're telling me tonight, 24 hours later, that you wrote that date down sometime a couple of months ago? I said, please take a picture of that when you get home and send it to me. And sure enough, she did, and there it was. And it was all a journal. But she actually wrote it on January 28th. And so here in this journal is the open door thing she was talking about, and scriptures were employed into it. She was literally writing about the open doors of God, the open things of God. And she did have the date, June 18th and June 19th. She brought her journal yesterday. I looked at it, and there it was. And she said, yep, this is it. And so I began to think to myself, okay, you know, I could by myself get something like this, and it could be pretty awesome and pretty cool for my own understanding. But what are the mathematical odds? What are the mathematical odds that out of the nearing 7 billion people on planet Earth, that 2 people belonging to the same congregation would have the same exact date revealed to them? One from Ezekiel chapter 1. That was to me. I just happened to pursue it. And then to share that 24 hours later with a woman that was sitting there at that moment, that time, saying, I had written that date down, but I didn't tell a soul. She actually told Pastor Ken, oh, I was given a date, and she didn't share it, though. I think Pastor Ken said, don't share it, or something like that happened. And so she, not until Wednesday night did she say, I've got to share it now. So what are the mathematical odds of 7 billion people getting the same date, talking about open things? And then I began to think to myself, you know what? And this is God. There's some reason this is happening. This is not something you know. And again, I've seen some pretty amazing things line up. And my God, it is so easy to just immerse yourself into it. But this is something outside of myself. This is another person that was journaling while laying on her bed with pneumonia. She was very sick in those days. And there she is writing this date down. So what is the takeaway with all this? We've been preaching and prophesying that there's an acceleration that is coming to the body of Christ to quicken everything. And now we're in the realm of the tangible things of God. The tangible things of God. The heavens being opened. So I did a little study on why the heavens are shut up, why the heavens are closed at times, why the windows are shut, the doors are shut, the gates are shut. The tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was shut up. I mean, why? What shuts it up? And it appears that it's always when sin becomes very gross that the kingdom and the doors, the gates, the window, they shut up. There's a shutting up of these things. And so I'm believing in my heart that in this moment, God is declaring. Now, I don't know. We're going to be having our prayer meeting tonight. And we're going to be going, you know, she wrote down in her book January 18th and 19th. So we'll see what Monday, Tuesday, all the way through the day of Wednesday brings us till the setting of the sun, if there is going to be something connected to it. Now, to say nothing about this, to play it safe, some people might do that. Say, well, let's not get into this. But with the way things happened, we can't do anything but proclaim to God's people, would you please join in a spirit of faith that just maybe something is going to be opened and something is going to vent and there's something. Now, in the days of Elijah, when the people were all confused, there was a tangible resource of God to awaken God's people. And I believe that the possibility, the potential of a tangible release from God's realm of glory into this earth is going to settle the issue of who's right and who's wrong. Who's right and who's wrong? I just got a call from Pastor Ted. I wonder what he's doing out there. Well, Pastor Ted, if you need to contact me, just call into the broadcast and we'll take it from there. I'm pretty sure we're broadcasting live, aren't we? I think we are. So I'll wait for that call from Pastor Ted if he has something he'd like to share. So what do you do with this kind of information? What do? Write a book? Sell it? No. You go onto a radio program and you tell people what happened. You don't embellish the story. You say, this is exactly what happened. And there was a witness. And so what is that all about? Let me take this call from Pastor Ted Marshall. Good morning, Pastor Ted. I haven't heard from him in such a long time. How are you doing, sir?
We have been busy traveling all over, my friend. It's been a blessed couple of weeks. 2 or 3 weeks. We're just coming back from Effingham, Illinois, where they had the first annual Veterans Festival up there. And we were the MC, and we were able to record some shows for the Last Patrol radio show. I'm traveling with Lieutenant Colonel Linda Pugsley, who was a Vietnam nurse. She's been on the show plenty of times with Last Patrol. And we went up there to take part in this. Linda set had her nursing tent. She was a nurse in Vietnam. Had a tent set up there with a display. I had our radio booth up on the stage area where we were able to introduce the bands and be able to talk. We also did a special presentation of the Last Patrol performance, and it has been a blessed event. Linda got a chance to ride on a Huey helicopter, which she hasn't done a gazillion years. Well, I don't want to say that, a lot of years. And we just had a wonderful time. We're just leaving the Atlanta area now, heading back toward Florida. But it has been a wonderful time. We're trying to record as many programs as we can live from the events and put them all together. And got a lot of work to do when I get back in the studio and editing and putting it together. We've had a lot of Nashville guests, veterans that are recording artists. They were there at the event. They give me their music and the permission to play any of their music anytime. So we're making some incredible contacts. And Vincent, one of the most unique things that happened that was really a blessing just happened a half hour ago. We stopped at a restaurant, Linda and I did, to get some biscuits and we're going to sit there for a while and have some coffee. And this man walks in, and he sees my hat that says Canine Vietnam Dog Handler on it. And he smiles at me. We start talking. I introduced Linda. I said, Linda was a nurse in Vietnam. He said, can I hug her? He hugs her, and you can tell he's starting to tear up. He says, we invited him to sit down with us. Found out this guy was a wounded warrior. He lost his left eye, and he said he's always wanted to come up to one of the nurses and thank them for how they treated him. And we must have sat there for 2 hours talking to the man, witnessing to him, and just listen to him talk and tell his story about his life, and that it's been wonderful. But here's the miracle. Just before Linda and I left her sister's house, 5 minutes later, you know, before we left, we prayed that the Lord would put somebody in front of us that really needed to hear us today and really needed to talk. And he walks in. Incredible. When we had at the little restaurant, just a little hole in the wall restaurant. It's been just a wonderful, wonderful morning. We're excited, man. We're on our way back home to put this stuff together. We got some other veteran events. I'll be going up to Nashville in about 3 weeks. I've been asked to be an MC for Jesse's Veterans Tour. It's a veteran that's going out that he does country western music and wants me to be the MC for the program and do some of the shows with him. It's taken off, Vincent. The Lord is moving us. And we are just so happy to be able to come back and talk to you. I know it's been hectic. I now got the capability to do the portable studio anywhere now. And we'll be able to do some live broadcast to you from Nashville, from some of the other places that we're going to go. And we are just so blessed, Vincent. It's been a wonderful, wonderful week. We've been up here for almost 5 days at the festival and heading home now. How are you, brother?
Well, Pastor Ted, I appreciate that call. It sounds like there's been acceleration in your life and your ministry, that some doors have opened and that opportunities are to preach the gospel and save souls is really happening in your ministry, in your life, and it's just expanding and growing and increasing. That's what I'm hearing. That's awesome.
That is exactly what's happening, and the Lord has put his hand in it, and it's like he's got the hand on the throttle, and I'm sitting in that race car all strapped up, saying, let's go. Wherever you want to take me, and you got the wheel, I'm just along for the ride.
And there's nothing like that. That is the freedom. That is the liberty. That is awesome. That is absolutely awesome. You know, you're making me a little jealous, but I got to tell you what we're doing. We're planning a men's outing, and we're going to be hitting Mount Rushmore, and then we're going over to Yellowstone, and then we're going down to the Teton Mountains. And so
felt
like it was important to gather God's men together, take a road trip, get out into the high country, into the wilderness to see the absolute beauty of God's creation. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to minister to some men and to do some work in our midst. So we're getting ready to plan that trip for July 15th. And we're just going to fill up a couple of trucks, put some camping equipment, some backpacks and some tents and all the stuff we need. I've got some friends coming from California. They're going to join us.
Uh-huh.
And I just, you know, you guys, you know what it's like to be out there with a bunch of men in the jungle of Vietnam.
Yeah.
So what, you know, that's go ahead.
I said, that is an absolute great idea. If my schedule we could fit in it, we'd love to come and do it with you. I would love to do
awesome.
That.
Absolutely, but, and rally the troops. You know, get Brother Don and whoever else wants to join.
Oh yes, yes, we'll try to.
Love to have you guys. That would be awesome.
Yeah, we miss you, Vincent. We miss you, folks up there in Arkansas. That's our family up there, and tell you what, and what a great idea for a men's trip to those several places you guys are talking about. I've never seen Mount Rushmore. I've never been to the two parks that you mentioned. I've never been there. And to me, that's like, whoa, yeah, that might work, you know?
Yeah. So our departure date's going to be July 15th, which isn't too far away now. And
I know.
We're going to be rallying at the church, and I'm going to get, you know, the troops mustered up around here, and then we're going to head out and see what God does. But I do believe there's a real calling in it. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, no, good word, Lord willing, we'll see where he takes us with that. And if I can't go with you, if we get scheduled at Nashville for the other things that they needed to do, please call into me. All right, let me know what's going on, and we'll keep in touch. I'm sorry I haven't been in touch for the past 3 weeks or so. It's been something else. This is like the glory road trip, being able to be out with my Vietnam veteran friends and all veteran friends, and meet some new folks. And we made a brand new special friend, and he's a Congressional Medal of Honor winner. And he just we meshed. You know, we became friends. He gave me his personal phone number, which they don't do, you know, because any Yahoo out there would be calling and bugging him. But so I got a brand new friend out there, and he's happens to be the president of the Medal of Honor Society. The only ones that are part of that society are who have the Congressional Medal of Honor. And I don't know where this is going to go, Vincent, but I know the Lord's hand is in it. When he brings good men of power and faith, good men of faith like that. And for you folks that are out there listening, if you'd like to read his story and see his story on YouTube, this Lieutenant Colonel Hal Fritz, Congressional Medal of Honor winner, Army commander. It was what a story. Vincent, this is a guy that went, had his tank blow up under him. Tank was sitting there burning, and he still kept directing the enemy fire, or directing the troops for defense positions. Bailed out of his tank. All he had was a pistol and a bayonet, and charged the enemy. There you go.
Wow. Love it.
That's a man.
I love
it. Yeah.
Yeah, that is. That's very
and
courageous.
He is a believer, and he's a brother.
Well, you know, Pastor Ted, what I'm hearing you say, and to the listeners that are out there, the action is out there. You cannot sit in a church and will people to come through the doors. The harvest is ripe everywhere right now. This, I concur. I believe this with all my heart. We're believing for 10,000 souls to be baptized in every river, every lake, every pond there is, every source of water. And you can't do it if you're just sitting in the church. You can't will people into the house or into the kingdom of God. God said to go into all the world. And
yes, he did.
He gave you a ministry. You're out there. You're doing what you're doing. You've got to be thrilled. And so, you know, God bless you and protect you and keep you safe and sound as you go out there and you're doing this incredible work and rallying the troops. My God, God bless you, sir.
God bless you. Thank you so much, brother. And
hope to see you July 15th.
I say this from the, I would hope so. I would hope so, but I'm going to say this from the bottom of my heart. You're a catalyst, and you're an inspiration that helped me start this my radio ministry, the Veterans Radio Ministry. And Vince, I will always, always respect you and love you for that, because God put us together for a reason, and I'm just so grateful for that. Thank you, Vincent.
Well, thank you, brother. God bless your heart. I appreciate that, Ted. You guys are special, all of you that we've met that are part of the Vietnam vets and the veterans that we've had the opportunity to walk with and fellowship with. And let's pray that God in these times is going to, you know, bring a reunion. That would be a beautiful thing.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
Yes,
please
all
give
right,
your lovely wife, Patricia, a hug for me, okay? And
I will.
Tell Max he's a good dog, all right?
Okay, he's gonna pay attention when I say Pastor Ted said. He's gonna look up with me and his ears are gonna perk up. God bless you. Be safe in your journey
home.
God
bless you, brother. Thank you.
All right, ladies Bye-bye. And gentlemen, Pastor Ted Marshall calling in from Atlanta, sharing a story. And you know, while there was no direct conversation about that story, you know, relating to what we were talking about prior to. Can you just kind of sense that that's where, you know, the heart is going at this time? Acceleration, things getting done, miracles, he said, prayers, and then people walking into the life and sharing the gospel and, you know, healing, restoration. So that's what we've been talking about. And my thought about this June 18th, tonight when the sun sets and people kind of gather together in prayer, expectation, not challenging anything. Well, you know, not a spirit of disappointment, discouragement, nothing happened. You know, it's not about that. It's something happened and you have to explore it. Something happened and you have to explore it. I'll tell you a little story I thought was interesting. It's certainly not to put any water on the fire here. You know, you always wonder why things like this happen. I remember a time when Patricia and I were in Long Island, New York, and we were out at the very end of the island where the watchtower is, the lighthouse. And I'm forgetting the name right now, but it's the end of the world, if you will. And you're at the Atlantic Ocean at the lighthouse. And we were just strolling along a rocky kind of beach and just walking hand in hand and at the end of the of this continent. And we ran into a couple and we wound up talking to them for 10 or 15 minutes. And, you know, we just struck up a conversation and it was really amazing conversation. And we had a chance to share things. And several months later, we were in San Diego, California on Coronado. And we were having a meeting with our deacons, and Patricia and I were taking a stroll down the beach. And sure enough, who did we walk into? That same exact couple from coast to coast. There we are in San Diego. So we looked at each other. They asked me, are you in the CIA? I asked them, are you in the FBI? We were kind of joking around. But there it was. And you ask yourself, well, why did that happen? What was the point of that? That was many, many years ago. We've never been in touch. No phone numbers, nothing like that. But what was it all about? And of course, we did share some things about our faith in Christ, and but nothing really came out of it. But what are the odds of that happening? So, well, tonight the sun sets, and we may, you know, think to ourselves, what does this mean? But, you know, Moses was inquisitive enough when he saw a bush on fire, but it wasn't being burnt. He said, I'm going to go check this out. And in like manner, I would encourage all of you, wherever you are, wherever you're listening from, if you're listening in the Middle East, if you're listening in Africa, if you're listening in Europe, if you're down in South America and you're tuned into the broadcast right now, you're listening right here in the United States of America, wherever you're listening to, why don't you just, you know, take a moment for tonight in Selah and consider that possibility that maybe you, like the prophet Ezekiel by the river Chebar, and you know Chebar means far away. That was a Babylonian river, and the people were taken captive. And yet it was in a foreign land that God opened the heavens for this prophet Ezekiel to go and see the visions of God. And I believe that the church, the ecclesia, we need to see the tangible anointing of God in our lives. We need to see the miracle working power. You heard how excited Pastor Ted Marshall was. He was very excited about just meeting people and being out there and doing the work and to see God's hand move. This is important for our faith in the hour in which we live. And I just believe that God may be saying something. I'm going to take this call coming in from South Dakota. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yes,
good morning.
I've been listening. About Ezekiel, what you were bringing out, and then about this Marisa that got a confirmation, more or less, on this. And I immediately was reading this chapter. And in the fourth verse, this could have some meaning. I don't know. And here's what it says in Ezekiel 1:4. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Now, I heard that years ago when I was at a meeting here in South Dakota, and the Lord spoke and said, there will be a fire on the prairie, because we got a lot of prairie land out here. And what it was a spiritual fire of going to move in this area of this part of the United States because of the deadness spiritually that has been here for many years. But something must be happening in the spirit realm. And when you were bringing this out about who's right, you know, all truth is parallel. That means that whatever happens in the heavenlies happens on the earth. And you know what? They could run together. So whatever God is doing, we need to be very, very attentive. And this is a wonderful idea that you and these other gentlemen are going to be taking this road trip, and especially when you were bringing out about Mount Rushmore. Uh-huh. Yeah, there's something happening out on the reservations, even in the spirit. So I just pray that the Lord just leads you guys completely, and it will be accomplished, some of the things that God wants to be done.
Well, Kathy, I appreciate that, and this is an invitation to those that are listening to the broadcast, particularly to men that just, you know, need to shake themselves a little bit of, you know, just being kind of tucked in, and it's time to get out there a little bit. And I just know that God put this in my heart, and I'm believing that, you know, this trip to Mount Rushmore, then west over to Yellowstone and through Bighorn National Forest, and then down to the Teton Mountains. I believe this is going to be an enriching time, and we're going to bring, you know, Jesus is bringing us with him into the mountains, and there's a reason for this. And I do extend an invitation to the men of God that are out there that have a desire to, you know, fellowship with other men. And what an awesome thing to think that our Vietnam veteran friends would join us on such a journey, and to bring some of the elder men and the younger men and come together and travel and, you know, just see where God leads and what he does. Well, we have a general outline. So, you know, the whirlwind, the fire, the tangible resources of God. I am personally, you know, again, like Moses, that was inquisitive. You know, what does this mean? What is the meaning of the burning bush here? So what is the meaning of this June 18th that was in the Word of God? Marissa wrote it down, open heavens. You know, what does this mean? Is there a desire in the heart of God's people everywhere to peer into the things of heaven? Is there a desire in men and women's hearts to tangibly touch the resources of God from the heavenly realms? And is there, you know, there's no disappointment when you're just pursuing and you're inquisitive and you're looking into it. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing tonight. And what we're going to be praying is that everybody in the body of Christ is going to get something from God so that the questions will be answered. I really believe that it is time for God to answer. And I believe that he's telling us something that there, you know, get ready, you know, position yourself to see, to perceive and to recognize. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to go and explore the meaning of these things. Tonight, when the sun sets, we're going to be looking into Tuesday all day long, because that'll be the first day of the fifth day in the Hebrew calendar. So Tuesday, Wednesday, these next couple of days should be very interesting. And I am just wondering what God has in mind about these things. Amen, Kathy.
Well, yeah, you know, what does fire do when it, God is a consuming fire? And this Ezekiel here is talking about a fire. And a fire can consume, I'll tell you what, and destroy, but it can also refine.
Amen to that. Hey, Kathy, hold on for 1 second. I've got a fresh call coming in here today, coming in from area code 479-295. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. This is Marissa.
Well, hello, Marissa.
Hello.
God bless you, young lady. You want to speak into this moment and confirm some things, yes?
Yes. I've been listening to the broadcast, and you know, you've talked about the word that God gave me back January 28th, and it was actually, I believe, the 27th, something like that, and I had been sick with the flu and pneumonia. And I never, in all of the years that I've believed, has God ever given me a date to look at and to be aware of and to keep my eyes on. And so when it happened, I was kind of skeptical, but I was obedient and I wrote it down. And at the same time, God was speaking very clearly to me. I mean, like clear like a bell, about open doors. And so I wrote it all down in obedience and just held on to that word, waiting for a time when God would tell me to release it. And so Wednesday, when you stated June 18th, I was like, oh my goodness, that's the date that I wrote down, and I had highlighted it because it was so strong in my spirit. And so I don't know exactly what God is trying to going specifically to do. I just know that he's showing us very clearly that there is an open door in heaven and an open door in the spirit. And so we need to hang on to that word and just believe God, and just, he's going to do some mighty things, but we need to keep pressing in and keep, you know, moving in the spirit, praying and seeking him in this time.
Marissa, do you have any memory or recollection as to why you wrote June 18th, June 19th at the end of that that writing?
Well, at the time, I had had a very vivid dream. And when I sometimes when I have a dream so vivid, I think it's actually happened in the natural. And I had felt or seen in a dream that my door had just opened very forcefully, like with a very strong wind. And when I woke up, I looked at the door to see if it was open because it was so strong. But as it opened, I heard June 18, 19. And so I was like, wow, you know. So I just wrote it down, but it was like everything around that was all about open doors, what God was showing me. So, I've just held on to it, you know, to wait and see what God was going to do, because I didn't want to just put that out there and then just be like, oh, that's just your own thoughts, because it was just so vivid. So,
well, it is. And let me, I just want to share this one thing before we get going here today. This is the Strong's definition of the word open in Ezekiel 1:1, that the heavens were opened, and the word there is pathak. And just listen to some of the definitions. You said forcefully opened in your vision, in your dream. And the word pathak literally means to be thrown open, to let loose, to free. It means to, let me get a little bit deeper here. It literally means to break forth or to draw out. It means to let go free, to ungird, to unstop, or to have vent. And so it almost it appears that there's blowing, this bursting forth, this, you know, breaking forth, that the heavens are going to open and God is going to reveal certain things. And I do believe there'll be a tangible anointing. And the thing on this radio broadcast, I never thought of this until we were talking on this radio broadcast. Moses saw a bush burning, and rather than going by saying, ah, that's, you know, I don't know what that, he was inquisitive and he says, I'm going to go check this out. And so that's what we're going to be doing tonight, tomorrow, Wednesday. We're going to be checking this out, what it's all about. I'm so glad you called in. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you. I just heard you talking, and I just thought, you know, I need to share from my own words, because it was such a profound thing, and I have hung on to it since January 28th of this year. And so, you know, sometimes it's best when God gives you a word just to hold on to it until he says, okay, it's time to release it. And that's what I did, so. I'm glad I did.
Absolutely amazing. What are the mathematical odds that two people in the same congregation get that kind of interconnection? So we're going to see what it's all about. So hold tight. Be excited. Look up. We're going to go check it out, see what's going on. Yes?
Yes.
Thanks, Marissa, for the call. God bless you. That was awesome. I did not actually ask her to do that. So Marissa was tuning into the broadcast. You heard the other side of the story. It is true. I hope that you all will be super blessed. I'm Vincent Xavier. I'll be back on the air next tomorrow. That's where we're going to be on the air is tomorrow. And until we meet again, I want to encourage you to stay tuned to listen to Patricia Joy Xavier, who is up next right here on the Omega Radio Network. And in the interim, I'm going to play one of our favorite songs here and just ask the Lord to bring us into a more worshipful experience as you get ready to continue on in this journey. God bless everybody. See you tomorrow.
rainbow, blowing out the dust within. Come and breathe your breath upon me. I've been born again. Holy Spirit, I surrender. Take me where you want to go. Plant me by your living water.
Hello, hello, hello.
Plant me
deep. This is a most interesting program we have going. And what we have just heard is a most interesting program. So we are giving God the glory and the praise for everything he wants to show us. We are being led by the Spirit. Oh, the Word of God is being enriched. We become understanding. We become those who understand the richness of his Holy Spirit and how he guides us and how he leads us. I just received, or I should say opened, one of my emails. Precious lady you just heard earlier by the name of Kathy Bruns. And she forwarded this to me, and it says this. This is the word that came forth for the reservations in South Dakota and throughout the United States. It's harvest time. I'm going to read you that word, but isn't that interesting in line with what has been said on the program of Pastor Vincent? And as we go into this wonderful idea of what may be happening, I'm looking to experience God's perfect will of an open heaven. What is he telling to his people? What information is he giving them? He is speaking, but we need to hear him clearly and precisely for the times we're in. And may the Lord anoint our ears. But here is what she had sent. It's from the Pioneer Posts, and it was called, or is called, War Drum. War Drum. I hear a heartbeat. I hear a war drum. I hear the beating of a heart. I hear the beating of a drum. I hear the beating of many hearts. I hear the beating of many drums. It's time to release the sound of the heart. Time to release the sound of the drum. It's time for the heartbeat of this land to return. It's time for the beating of the drum to return to this land. It's time. It's time for the marriage of the lover to his bride. It's time to display the bride before the nations. It is his delight to present a beautiful bride. It is his joy to place her in front of all to see. It's time. Isaiah 62:1-5. Regarding my people, I can't keep my mouth shut. Regarding my native bride, I can't hold my tongue. Until her righteousness blazes down like the sun and her salvation flames up like a torch, foreign countries will see your righteousness and world leaders your glory. You'll get a brand new name straight from the mouth of God. You'll be a stunning crown in the palm of God's hand, a jeweled cup held high in the hand of your God. No more will anyone call you rejected, and your country will no longer be called ruined. You'll be called Hephzibah, my delight, and your land Beulah, married, because God delights in you. And your land will be like a wedding celebration. For a young man marries his virgin bride. So your builder marries you. And as a bridegroom is happy in his bride, so your God is happy in you. I received this vision, it goes on to say, from the Lord during a time of worship. I had an impression of a person wearing headgear, like what you wear to prepare your teeth for braces.
I assumed God was going to take off the headgear to reveal beautiful straight teeth. But instead, he removed the headgear and this person's entire set of teeth and then placed a brand new set of teeth in the person's mouth. Shiny, new, straight, beautiful teeth. Then I heard the Lord say, "It's time to eat the scroll." A few years ago, the Lord showed me a scroll, and he told me to open my mouth and swallow it whole. Today, he is revealing to me that it is time to chew, break down, and receive the nutrients and health and life from the food which is the scroll, which is the Word of God. I swallowed the scroll several years ago simply by faith, not fully understanding what it meant, not fully knowing why he asked me to do this. I just did it, and I didn't ask any questions. Today, he is saying this concerning the eating of the scroll. Listen carefully. You will sit down at the banqueting table to feast, to sup, and to enjoy the fullness of every morsel, the sweetness of every sip, and the richness of every bite. It will nourish your body, heal your mind, and bring vitality and energy to your whole being. Day and night you will feast on the goodness of the Lord. All day long the Word of God will come alive and nourish your spirit. Every part and every cell of your body will vibrate and thrive as it receives nourishment from the Spirit of God, which will overflow the Word of God from the Word of God. Manifestations of His glory will rejuvenate your mind, and His glory will literally change and transform your very DNA. Father God has increased our appetites. I see us at the banqueting table. We are ravenously devouring the food, and we are shoving it in our mouths as fast as we can, and we can't get enough. The more we eat, the hungrier we become. The more we taste, the more delicious it is in our mouths. I see Jesus, and he is sitting with us at the table. He is laughing and enjoying the feast with us. I see him drink from a goblet. On the cup, it is written, delight. He is enjoying the feast so much that his joy is contagious, and all are feasting and enjoying the delight that he is drinking of. We are doing it to his glory. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalms 34:8, as we continue to taste, our eyes become renewed. In fact, as we look around, we say, my vision used to be cloudy, but now I see perfectly. The longer we feast, the clearer everything becomes. All the clouds that used to hover over our eyes begin to dissipate, and we realize that we are radiant and glowing, seeing ourselves and everyone around us through the eyes of love, seeing everyone with the eyes of Jesus with pure delight. We begin to laugh. As a matter of fact, we are laughing so hard and from such a deep place within our bellies that we begin to float up and off our seats. As we go higher and higher, we find that we are seated right next to Jesus. We are seated in heavenly places, ruling and reigning with him. Ephesians 2:6. We are all given a crown with many jewels, a scepter to govern, and then we all begin to sing. It's the song of the Lamb, Revelation 4:10-11. We bow down before him. There is so much glory radiating from him and such a holy understanding of his love. As we sing and worship in his presence, he sings back to us. He sings our song over our lives. The song written in our book, the song of the bridegroom to his bride, written by Gina Vad. What a wonderful thing to hear. What does it mean? What does it mean to us? I believe what she is seeing in the spirit. I believe she is seeing the bride of Christ begin to take off the dirty, unclean clothing, or dirty and, yes, unclean clothing of spot and wrinkle. The bride of Christ is beginning to be transformed into his glory as he takes us from glory to glory to glory, according to our desire to be with him and to love him. He does say that we are seated with him now in heavenly places, not that we will be, but that we are. But our garments have been cleansed. We are no longer with spot and wrinkle. We are a bride ready to see our groom. And we see him more clearly as he takes us from glory to glory. The dark things have been removed, the spots and wrinkles. I believe this is the very reason why, again, the Lord had me write my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Because it is our right to be made holy. It is our right to understand the revelation that has just been given. Because we are becoming more and more like our Lord, our perfect Lord. We are perfecting in the Holy Spirit. And how do we begin to do such a wonderful, wonderful work within our lives? What do we open ourselves up to find such glory coming in and changing us? Many I see in the church today are spotted. They need their garments cleansed and made pure and white, ready for the groom. They need their candles lit with the light of truth and revelation knowledge. But what is standing in the way for this to happen? Why are so many in such dire straits right now? I'll tell you why. Because they have been deceived by erroneous teachings that have not endured to change their lives. A true and holy word of God will do it. Transformation comes with a desire. But it's hard to desire transformation when your mind is so clouded that all you can think of is what is happening to you in this very unusual realm that the darkness has brought you into. And what is standing before you to keep you there is darkness. And what is in that darkness is demonic presence trying to destroy the people of God. As I said so many times, the people of the world who have not yet changed their mind to receive Jesus Christ as their true light, their personal Savior, their deliverer, their master, their King, the great Holy One, the greatest of all, who is God Himself, moving into people through the Holy Spirit. They can't understand the love that has been given to them, bestowed upon them when they said yes. The enemy took hold from the time most of them have been very young. And though they try with all their heart and all their might to do what is right, fear grips their soul and they fall back into deception. But there's a way out. And that way out is deliverance. deliverance is the call for the moment. If you yourself find your own personage in trouble and can't seem to grab hold to the freedom and glory that has been given to you, I ask you to go to Amazon and get my book called Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. People need deliverance. And to get it, they have to understand that God is involved in bringing you to himself altogether. He wants to be your father. He wants to father you, but Satan oppresses you. Depression comes into your life. You are vexed. You are tormented because of fear. No longer should that be your state of existence as a Christian. You need to begin to ask for his guidance and protection, knowing that the demonic spirits are all liars and boasters, full of pride and threats. They will continue to threaten your life, making you feel unworthy, incapable, where you will end up in a demonic frenzy of hating yourself. How could you be of the Lord God Almighty, who tells you that the first thing that must be done is to love him with all your heart, all your might, all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself? If you cannot love yourself, you cannot love God, you cannot love your neighbor. And why can you not love yourself? Because you have been put into prison, incarcerated by a demon or demons who constantly tell you and accuse you of unworthiness and incapability, and you become the most self-hater you can imagine. And that self-hate will cause you to accuse others of hating you, when the truth of the matter is that it is the demonic presence that really hates you. God loves you. God wants you delivered. He wants you set free. Self-hate is a load that you should not be carrying. Brings guilt and shame, unworthiness. The enemy closes in on you with oppression and depression to the point where you want to run and hide. You don't want to be with other people. You want to run from yourself. And God's hand is extended, and all he's asking of you is first to be his child, because he has created you and he loves you. And then he asks you to grow up, to mature, to become sanctified after you have been delivered from the doctrines that have caused you not to understand deliverance. And your eyes have been opened to know the truth. And as you grow in maturity, he desires you to become the bride of Christ, beautiful in every way, dynamic and powerful and glorious, where light literally pours out of your being, the light of truth, and people see that light and they're drawn to it, for you were ashamed and hiding. Be always watchful and discerning, lest any time the demons from hell attempt to deceive you. And it's not hard in this day and age, unless you have put on your robes of righteousness. the clean robes that he has given you. It is not hard to become deceived, but you must have the gift of discernment so that you'll be able to understand that when people speak against you in any way, when they come against the knowledge that you have been given, when they try to accuse you of being not right in your mind, and they are superior to you, it is not they that you are fighting. They are being used to come against you, or they wouldn't be so unloving. And who are they being used by? Demonic presence, led by unholy spirit, to hurt, to destroy by their mouth, to accuse you, to make you feel less of a person than you are, if you have received the glory of Jesus Christ in your life, the salvation, the price that was paid for every sin you ever committed. You're holy. You're clean. Enemy would want to make you feel as though you're not, as though you're an imbecile, that your mind isn't able to clearly understand truth. And they will say that your truth is a lie. They have accused you when their truth has been a lie, because they're abusive. You see, abusive people aren't led by the Holy Spirit. They're led by another spirit. So you have to be on watch. You have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. And the only way you can do that is to know your enemy who tries to come in to destroy you, to understand the wiles of the enemy, the dark spirits, the satanic spirits, the demons that are all around and about us in the darkness of this world. When it comes time for you to be a deliverer, to help others get set free in their deception, to be free of the agony of vexation, of being oppressed and depressed, fearful. When you're ready to go out and be a deliverer in the army of the Lord, then these are the things you must do. Encourage the person to be honest about all aspects of his or her life and about generational sin, especially. And you could read about that in Exodus 25. First, lead the person to repent from their sin and search their heart for unforgiveness toward God or anyone who has offended them. And by listening to the Holy Spirit, you will be able to discern if the person has truly repented and has decided to forgive and be liberated from the entrapment of sin. And this is the reason why you must do it this way. Any sin not confessed and repented of will only keep person under legal captivity to Satan. And Satan will continue to act upon his legal right. You see, this is a cause of legal justice in the courtrooms of heaven. God is the God of great legalities, of truth, and the legal right that is given individuals according to what they choose to do. In other words, if you continue in sin, or the person you want to deliver continues in sin, it is in direct agreement with Satan. They are directly agreeing with Satan. Satan now has a legal right. If the individual you're trying to deliver remains in rebellion to the authority of Almighty God, then the enemy has a right to stay where he is. He has the authority to stay where he is, because you have been given the rights to decide which way you're going to serve and which way you're going to choose. Psalms 32:5 says, "Then I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." You see, sin makes us guilty. If we try not to feel guilty when there is sin, it'll never work. Our conscience will always bother us. We were created that way. But the great gift that God has given us is the gift of choice. That makes us who we are. We can choose whatever we desire. It's up to us. God doesn't control us, but Satan does. People blame God for wanting to be the controller. He just wants to control my life. I want to have fun and sin. But that isn't true. He wants you to make a righteous choice of what will bring you life rather than death. Satan is the one that says, I want to control you, and I want you to sin. For the wages of sin is death. Then I have you right where I want you. Do you know that what the trouble is with mankind? He's guilty. That's the problem. He's just unadulterated guilty. We were created that way from the fall. And do you know why man suffers? Because no matter how hard he or she tries to be a free thinker, without the accountability to the Word of God, he or she is guilty. Guilt brings remorse. Guilt brings problems. Guilt brings a great vexation. Subconscious becomes arrayed with fear and trembling because you turned away from the source of life. Sin will always make you feel guilty, no matter how one tries to proclaim otherwise, that it is okay to sin. You see, there has been rights established and rights not established for the human being. But this one thing I know, God loves you and God loves me, and he wants us free. God bless you. Tune in to my book, Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. God bless you and make you the person he desires you to be.